So we left off. We finally completed, after many weeks, the discussion of halachic change. Although I have one more source that we'll encounter either today or next week as we're going through this sugya, obviously we've read parts of this Gemara. I just want to read, we haven't read all of the Gemara, and I want to focus on the Gemara itself. And there's a very interesting passage the Ran quotes the Ramban, which is potentially rather explosive. We'll talk about it for a little bit about contemporary halachic change. So anyway, we read parts of it, but let's start at the bottom of Lamed Hayamud Beis. And there the Gemara is quoting the Hashemen Shelohem. So this was one of the Gezeros, and which the Mishnah says, Rebbe Ubaistino, the Mishnah says that they prohibited Chalav if the Yisrael doesn't see it being milked. The Hapas, the Hashemen Shelohem. And Rebbe Ubaistino, he Tiru Hashemen. So the Gemara says, what is the origin of the machlokas of Shemen Shel Akum? So if you think about today, Aaron's not here to fetch about the OU making noise about olive oil and things being contaminated, you know, being adulterated and so on with who knows what. But the assumption has been for a long time, at least, that olive oil doesn't require a hashgacha. A, because it's not, it's general, it's cold pressed. There's no reason to assume that they, or at least so it has always been thought. No reason to assume anybody's mixing anything else in, and there's no gzera on Shemen Shel Akum. You know, if it were bread, and you knew there were kosher ingredients in it with your non-Jewish neighbors, so this the gzera is still on Pas Akum, at least Pas Balabayis. But Shemen Shel Akum, there's no longer, the Mishnah already says, Rebbe Ubaistino, whoever that is, they undid the gzera. So the Gemara says as follows, Shemen, Rav Amar Daniel Gazarlav, Ushmuel Amar Salifasan Shokelim Tameim Osrata. So there's a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and we'll explore both sides, as to what the origin of the prohibition of Shemen Shel Akum is. Rav said that Daniel made a gzera against it, and Shmuel says that it has something to do with Kelim which are Tumeim, which the Gemara is going to immediately dispute because we're not concerned about Tumah Vatara, so the Gemara is going to modify Shmuel's answer ever so slightly. Daniel, not Kelim which are Tumeim, but Kelim which are Treif. Okay. But to step back for a moment, the Rav's comment is very interesting. On the one hand, we are used to, from rabbinic literature, finding many things attributed to biblical figures, which may not necessarily be pshuto shel mikra. For example, I mean, I can't say that it didn't happen that way exactly, but for example, Eruvin is attributed to Shlomo HaMelech. The Izein v'chikerti kein mishalim harbeh. So the Gemara in Eruvin says that the Torah was like, until Shlomo HaMelech came along, it was like a kli which had no handles. And Shlomo came along and he made Oznayim la Torah. And that's v'izein v'chikerti kein mishalim harbeh, the pasuk in Sefer Koheles. So many various kinds of gzeros we'll see in our Gemara that Yichud is attributed to David Ubaistino after the story of Tamar and Amnon. So here, it seems to be, at first glance, another one of these sort of midrashic attributions, that Daniel was a gozer. However, this particular gzera, from a Pshuta Shel Mikra standpoint, is not quite, as midrashic as perhaps some of the others are, because you have to step back and think of who Daniel was. We might say, following the contemporary language, Daniel was the first Jew to go to the restaurant and order just a salad. As the story is told in the opening chapter of the Book of Daniel, so Daniel was one of the Sarisim, whether it's an officer or a eunuch, he and his friends, and the king wanted them well properly fed. They had to do the job right, and Daniel and his friends did not want to eat Pasbag HaMelech. And mishtav, they didn't want to eat the pasbag hamelech and his drinks. So the Daniel in the story goes to the person in charge and says, "Look, we don't really eat this. We'd rather have the salad. We have the zeronim." So the head officer was afraid, because if these guys didn't look the way it was supposed to, the king was going to have his head. What are you doing, feeding them vegetables, feeding them salads all the time? So Daniel said, here, let's do a trial. Let's do a week trial, and we'll see how it works out. And if we look like we're staying healthy and so on, then, and it turned out they were healthier than everybody else. So the moral of the story is, order the salad, even if you're in the kosher restaurant. But bottom line is that Daniel certainly is the first Jew that we have recorded in Tanakh who genuinely is concerned about eating the food of the non-Jews. And And from the vantage point, I think, of Tarfus, not from the vantage point of Avodah Zarah. You know, when the Torah talks about V'kara l'chavi achal tami zivcho, the focus, you know, about the warning against the social interactions with idolaters, so there, V'achal tami zivcho, it's the focus seems to be on you're being dragged into Avodah Zarah, not the fact that we would say that the shechita of a guy is an avela, and so it's treif, regardless of whether or not there's an Isra Avodah Zarah or not. But Daniel certainly is the first one that seems to be concerned with actually eating the non-Jews' food. At least from the vantage point, it would seem, of Tarfa. So he doesn't want to eat the Pas Hag Melech or Mishtav, which is a plural, or Yain Mishtav, actually, but there's a plural Mishtav, so the Gemara is going to talk about what that means. But this is where Rav is coming from. He's getting this idea that Daniel, and again, the story may be that Daniel and his friends only refused to eat the food. That doesn't mean that Daniel was part of a Beis Din, but that's where a little bit of the rabbinic sort of leap comes. And Daniel, Rav says Daniel was the one who was gozer on Shemen Shel Akum. Shmuel says that Zlifa San Shel Keim Tamero Sratan. Zlifa is a funny kind of word. Zlifa usually means to sprinkle. But here, it, obviously, in the context, it means that the Kalim have the in which the shemen is made. The shemen is pressed. There's non-kosher ingredient, non-kosher stuff in the kalim. There must have been stuff left over there. So Shmuel said that's what makes the shemen prohibited. So the Gemara immediately asks on the top of Lamed Vavam and Aleph, Otu kulei alma ochlei taros ninu. Now, what does it mean kalim tameim? And here's just a note worth of language, but there's sort of a three-step shift in language from what it means for something to be non-kosher, from biblical to rabbinic to, I'll call it, modern Hebrew / Yiddish. In biblical Hebrew, the word for a non-kosher animal is tameh, behemah tameah. It's still a usage that's found in rabbinic usage, but you wouldn't say in rabbinic usage that something is tameh means it's prohibited. Tameh means it's impure. In rabbinic usage, you already get the use of the term usser. And then in the modern usage, we wouldn't say that this food is tame. We wouldn't say that it's aser. We'd say that it's treif, which is, I'm assuming, a Yiddishism coming from the term treifa, which in classic halachic nomenclature is a very specific type of non-kosher food. It's treifa is specifically an animal that had a proper shechita, but had some type of internal blemish, not a mum, but more than a mum, some type of disease or something like that that would have shortened its life. So that word treifa, you know, now comes to take on the word for something that's not kosher. We don't say treifa, but we say it's treif. But here the Gemara jumps on the fact that it says lifasan shel kelim tumeim osratan, and tumeim is not going to be used for non-kosher. Tumeim is going to be used actually for something that's tameh. So the Gemara says most people don't eat chulin betara. They're not makpid. Forget us today, but even in the times where maybe people did keep tumeim betara, when kohanim did eat truma, at least. There was such a concept of ochel chulav betahara, that someone who would be particularly punctilious in making sure that the food he ate, if he could avoid it, he wouldn't, if he was tahar, he would be careful not to make his chulin unnecessarily become tameh. But most people, the Gemara says, kulei alma ochlei taros, and knew that you're going to make a gzeira, that's a chumra, that's a hidur. That's a midas chasidus, but that's not something that we assume was a din. So why would anybody, forgetting about what the nature of Exera or not Exera, why would anybody say that Zlifason shel kelim tameim osratan? So the Gemara immediately says, no, rather Ela Zlifason shel kelim asurin osratan. Rather, it's this non-kosher food, not this tameh food, but this non-kosher residue that was left in the shemen that now we are concerned that it sort of emits flavor into the shemen.
But wouldn't be Zlifatam shel kelim in this case? Could be the filtration agent that they used could have been non-kosher. In other words, they used membranes of all sorts in order to purify the oil.
So but that's not what Zlifa means. Zlifa, the way Rashi understands, based upon, I think, that the way it's usually used. It's usually used to sprinkle some liquid around. So the assumption here... it sounds the way Rashi understands. I think this is Pshat in the Gemara. Rashi says the last Rashi in Lamed Beis is Plitashan Shepolten Umizion Shamnunis Isur Shabalo. In other words, I don't know if they used it back then. Today I know, like you have apple juice, they use some type of a chemical agent to cause the the particulate matter to sort of settle.
They used, if you look at the archaeology, they used filtration material that was made out of animals.
So it could be, but that's not, I think, what the words lifasan likely refers to. So here's really, though, a central question. Rav, we understand, is that Daniel, and we might say Daniel or Beistino, the Gemara might say, with Gosrov. That's Xavier Midrabanan. The question is, according to Shmuel, what is this din of Lifasan Shalkelim Asurim Osratam? And I would argue that the simple understanding of this, and I believe this actually, as we'll see in a little bit, is the basis for a very crucial opinion of the Rambam, which we have discussed already, but we've never rooted it in the Gemara. I think that this is an Issa D'oraisa, according to Shmuel. In other words, Shemen Shel Akum, at least once upon a time, before Rebbe Ubeis Dino Hitiro, was in fact an Issa D'oraisa, because you had kosher oil, which had non-kosher ingredients that got absorbed, non-kosher taste that got absorbed, and that's why it was prohibited. That would be the simple reading. In other words, if you assume that this Kelim Asurim, and you cook food in Kelim Asurim, however you define that, the Gemara is going to discuss this a little bit, so then that's Asur Min HaTorah. And you see why I think that's important in a little bit. Tosus is actually going to go something of a different route, and it may reflect a very fundamental machlokas in the entire nature of the enterprise of Torah Shebaal Peh between the Rambam and the Balei HaTosfos. But now the Gemara has presented two sides, so let's read a little further. So, Amar Lei Shmuel L'Rav, Bishlama Lididi Da'aminas Lifasan Shel Kelim Asuran Osratan. If you believe, as I do, that the reason for the prohibition of Shemen Shalakum is because of the treif ingredients that are blended in. So then, Hainu the Chiyasa Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta V'Amar, Dorish Rab Semloi Ben Etzivin, Shemen Rabbi Yehuda Ubeistino Nimno Alavi Hitiruhu. Then it makes sense, the following tradition that Rav Semloi brought in Netzivan. Netzivan is a city, Nisbis, it's in Asia Minor. It was the home place, I don't know if he was born there, of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. So apparently he darshan that Rabbi Yehuda, and many of the Rishonim say this is not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but it's Rabbi Yehuda Nisi'a, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabban Gamliel ben Rebbe, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he and his based in permitted Shemen Shalakim. Now, that's very nice, but since when do you get to permit an Isur D'oraisa? So the Gemara says, Kosavar no Saint Tam Lifgam is Mutter. No, they believed that this Lifasan Shal Kelim Asurim would not be a problem because any residue that was left in those Kelim in the Shemen was Pogam. It actually was detrimental to the flavor of the Shemen. It didn't enhance it. And they believe that no Saint Tam Lifgam is Mutter. So now stop and ask yourself a question. What does the Tana of the Mishnah believe then? The Tana who says v'shemen shalahem is prohibited ba'achila. What does the Tana of the Mishnah hold? Presumably, no saint tam lefgam is also. Now we know there is such a machlokas. It's a machlokas at Tanaim, Rabbi Meir, and the other Tanaim, whether or not it starts out by a discussion of nevela. The Torah says lo sochlu chol nevela. You're not allowed to eat nevela. You give it to the ger toshav who lives in your cities, the non-Jew. So the Gemara has a machlokas. What about a nevela which is not ru'uya leger? It's inedible, meaning a ger can't eat it. It's the food's inedible. So it's a machlokas, Rabbi Meir, and other Tanaim, whether or not there's still an iser, at least an iser deraisa, on such a food. So Rabbi Meir believes that no saint tam lefgam is asur, and therefore he says that even though the nevela is not ru'uya leger, it's still considered a nevela. And the other Tanaim say no, that a nevela which is not ru'uya leger is not considered. Is not considered usher. The next step that we'll get, God willing, I don't know how many months it will take. It may take many, many months. Beyond that, we will eventually get to that Gemara. It's in the fifth parak in Avodah Zarah. But then the second step of that discussion becomes, what about the Torah obligated us when we conquered Midian in Parshas Matos to take the Kelim and to do something, to purify them. Which is our hechsher kelim of libun, of using fire on some kelim and using hot boiling water on other kelim. So the question is, why does the Torah prohibit that? Presumably because the kelim absorbed from the treif food that the Midyanim cooked in it, and therefore, in order to use them, we have to kasher it. So the Gemara observes, however, that after a certain amount of time, 24 hours, some Rishonim say, overnight, when a kli is no longer a ben yomo, we've encountered this already, the flavor that it emits, generally speaking, is pogame, the food, you may be able to taste the food, but it's a detrimental flavor, it's not a positive flavor. So the Gemara has a few different approaches to understanding how the Torah, why did the Torah prohibit klei midyan. So you can identify three approaches. Approach number one, according to Rabbi Meir, makes perfect sense. No saint tam of gam is aser. So it's not a problem. Of course it's aser. It's aser because Torah doesn't care. It's always aser. The second possibility is that it's a chiddush, that really normally no saint tam of gam would be mutter. But this is a case that the Torah is machadish by klei midyan. Maybe it doesn't ask the food, but you have to kashu them. And the third approach, which is the one that we accept the halacha, is that the Torah only demanded that we kashu kelim that would be used, not say in the first 24 hours. The Torah only demands that you kashu a kli if it's ben yomo, which is, you know, it's pushing it a little bit because you have to assume that they went to war, came back from war with Midyan, dragging all the pots and pans, and said, honey, I'm home, could you make me some binner and give him the pots and pans? Within 24 hours of the battle, right? There seem to have been a few other matters to tend to in the meantime, but anyway, so the Gemara says that that's the opinion we accept. The Torah only prohibited a kli ben yomo, and once it's no longer a ben yomo, so then it's only asa midrabanan. It's a gzeira, you're not allowed to cook in a kli, which is an eno ben yomo, lest you come to cook in a kli, which is a ben yomo, which is why we've said many times that for the most part, leaving aside the question of sharp foods, if you cook in treif pots that weren't used for 24 hours and were clean, you're allowed to eat the food. You're not allowed l'chatchila to cook in the pot, but the food itself is 100% kosher. So Shmuel, it would seem, based upon Shmuel's explanation, that the Tan of the Mishnah that says that Shemen was prohibited believed, or that the prohibition was an Isud, presumably an Isur Torah of no Saint Talmud Gam is Asa, and Rebbe Ubeistino came along and they said no Saint Talmud Gam is Mutter. Now, how did they change that? Hold off on 1 second. So now the Gemara, so Shmuel says to Rav the following. Shmuel says, if you hold like me, I understand how Rav Samlai could come along and say, he gave a drasha in Tzivan, he said that, you know what, Rebbe Ubeistino, Rebbe Hudo Ubeistino, Rebbe the Nasi and his Beistin permitted the Shemen. That makes sense. However, Ela Lididach, the Amris Daniel Gazar love, Daniel Gazar, Daniel made Xera for Asa Rabbi Huda Hanasiya Mavatale. And Rabbi Huda Nasiya comes along and does away with Daniel's Xera Vatnan. Aim based in Yachalavato Divre based in Chamera La Im King Gadal Hemenu Bachma over Minyan. Okay, so how could he presumably Rabbi Huda Nasiya was not on the same level as Daniel? Daniel was even a Navi, at least a part-time Navi. He certainly had Ruach HaKodesh. Not that that matters for your status as a Beis Din. How could Yehuda Nasiya overturn such a ruling? So that's what Shmuel's question to Rav is. So I have a very basic and obvious question. What is Shmuel talking about? Okay, so let's say the Tana of the Mishnah, okay, and as we're going to see later, it would appear to be that Shem and Shalako might have been one of the Xeros of Shammai and Hillel. According to Shmuel, whoever made the earlier ruling, had Rabbi Huda and his Beis Din overturn that ruling at this point? Now, ultimately, the Gemara is going to have an answer for Rav. It's going to explain, according to Rav, why he was able to undo the Gzeira. And we've discussed this already. The question of the Gzeira never became widespread. The Tzibur couldn't handle the Gzeira, whatever it was. But at this point, the Gemara doesn't know that answer yet. Shmuel doesn't know that answer, and he's challenging Rav. So why doesn't Shmuel look in the mirror and say, excuse me, Shmuel, how could Rabbi Huda Nasi and his Beis Din, Rabbi Huda Nasi and his Beis Din, permit something that, I don't know, Shammai v'Hillel or somebody earlier made a gzera on? Now, the answer,
isn't that the question? Ein Beis Din,
but Shmuel says, Bishlama lididi, it's okay. But for you, Rav, it's a problem. For Shmuel, it's also a problem. The earlier Beis Din said, no Saint Talmud Gam is Aser, and Rabbi Huda Nasi and his Beis Din come and say, no Saint Talmud Gam is Mutter. Shmuel literally says those words, Bishlama Lididi, and that court that my sheet that had to do with Kelim Asurim, Zlifasam Shal Kelim Asurim, so Rabbi Huda and Nasi and his Beis Din permitted it because they held no Saint Talmud Gam is Mutter. Which mean, but what did the Mishnah hold? That it was Aser. How did they undo that Iser? But according to you, Rav, that Daniel and his Beis Din goes there, how could Rehud and Nasiya come and undo Daniel's Gzeira? So it occurred to me in reading this Gemara, after 4 weeks that we've been giving shir just about halachic change, and having quoted the sheet of the Rambam many times, that this is the source for the famous sheet of the Rambam that we discussed. The Rambam believes that by dinim de oraisa, any Beis Din can overturn the interpretation of an earlier Beis Din. It's only by certain gzeiros the Rabbanan, the Rambam holds, that you need either no Beis Din can overturn it, we've discussed what are the yurches davar, we're going to see it again here, or you need a gadol b'chachma minyan at least, right? But by dinim de oraisa, El ha-shofet asher yiyeh ba-yomim ha-heim ein lecha shofet ela shebi-yamecha. The Rambam begins, Perek Beis of Hilchos Ma'amarim, explicitly articulating that idea that when it comes to interpretations of dinim d'oraisa, any Beis Din can overturn a previous Beis Din's ruling. It doesn't have to be Gadol b'chachav minyan. It doesn't have to be Shaveh, any Beis Din. So the truth is, this Gemara, it could be read, is explicitly articulating exactly the Rambam's principle. Shmuel says, Bishlama ledidi, that it was a din d'oraisa, whether no same lefpam lefgam was asur. So a later Beis Din, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, even though it's an inferior Beis Din, came along and said, you know what? We think that no same tam lefgam is mutter. We interpret the pasuk in Re'e about lagerash ebisharech than amachalah as differently, that, and we adopt a different position. Said, but according to you, Rab, that it was exerim midrabbanan, it was made by Daniel, how could, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is based on overturned such a gzera. They weren't gadol b'chacham of a minyan. That's the question, according to the Rambam, I think that Shmuel is asking. Tosfos is bothered by this question, both at the end of our first Tosfos and then a little Tosfos later in the sugya, and therefore Tosfos gives a different answer, but from the fact that he gives a different answer tells you he doesn't seem to be thinking along the Rambam's lines. You know, we pointed this out in our previous discussions, there is something counterintuitive, there's something both very appealing but counterintuitive about the Rambam. What's very appealing about the Rambam is that it establishes, at least in the theoretical, call it the Platonic world, that Torah Shel Peh really is this dynamic, flexible body that every Sanhedrin and every generation has full power. Right? It's not Lo Bashamayim. It's not just Lo Bashamayim, but also, I don't care what Yeshua Ben Nun and his Beis Din decided on the issue. I'm interpreting today, and I see it through the lens of today, and therefore we can overrule Yeshua and Beis Dino because our generations needs a different understanding of Torah. So it's very appealing in that regard, but it's very counterintuitive that for Dinim D'oraisa, any Beis Din can overturn a previous Beis Din, but a little puny Gzeira D'Rabbanan, you can't. You know what are the Yurches Dover? Pasakum a later, or Stamenam, no later Beis Din can do. They could be that. You could have Eliyahu Hanavi come back in the flesh and have have the greatest Beis Din that ever was since the time Moshe Rabbeinu. Sorry, Talmid Shammai Hillel said no, so you can't overturn it. It's like, how can that be? So it is. We said it's counterintuitive, but forgetting about whether you like the Svara or not like the Svara, the Gemara here, the very simple reading of the Gemara, fits beautifully with the Rambam's thesis. In other words, Shmuel is saying, for me, it's a din d'oraisa shemen. It was a din d'oraisa shemen shalach. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya and his Beis Din understood differently than some earlier Beis Din. But for you, that it's only Gzeira midrabbanan. How does Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya have the ability to overturn Daniel's Gzeira? Okay, I want to read on a little bit through the Gemara. And then we'll come back and I'm going to look at Tosfos, because Tosfos does take a different approach, which, again, by answering the question differently, tells you he didn't have the Rambam's teretz available. Okay. So now the Gemara says the following. So Rav responds, and this is a fascinating Gemara in its own right. I think this doesn't get a lot of play in rabbinic circles, actually. Amar Le, Rav responds, four lines, the fourth to last narrow line in the Gemara. Samlai Luda Kamris, you're talking about Samlai, who's a Luda? Shani Ludoi de Mizalzulu. He's an oisfarf. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He made it up. He and his chevra, I don't know who these Ludoi are exactly. Rashi just says Ludoi Mizalzuli b'midi de Rabbanon. But that's definitional in the Gemara. Ludoi, I assume, is a geographical reference. People who came from Lod. He said the Ludoi, they're not so firm. Rav Samlai is one of them. They want to, they indulge in Shem and Shalakum. So they walk around saying, oh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, you say, oh, Rabbi so-and-so permitted it. That's what, you can't trust the guy. That's what Rav says. So here's the fascinating part. Amar le, ashlach le. Shmuel says to Rav, this is stunning, he said, can we send, let's check to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Should we ask whether he's mater or not? Rav didn't respond, but ichsif. He was embarrassed. Literally means, ksifa means to turn white, like silver, it means to be embarrassed. Right, so that was the end, at least, of this line of reasoning. Now, it's particularly, the Amoraim were human beings. They were great human beings, but they were human beings. And it is interesting to me that the Talmud Bavli, the editors of the Bavli, chose not to censor this. In other words, they could have eliminated such passages. There are two other Gemaras that I think worth thinking about in this context. I'm not trying to undermine support for rabbinic authority here. At least two people in the room don't want to do that. But I think about two particular Gemaras that come to mind. One is a Gemara, it's a couple of places in Shas, where Rav Ashi was the sixth generation generation Amora. The previous generation, the two major Amoraim, who are Bali Plukta, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breid Rabbi Yoshua. So there's a case, I think, having to do with Nichsei Hager Shemes. When a Ger dies, I think that's the situation it's in. A Ger dies, and if he has no children, his property is Hefker, because he has no heirs. Because when he converted, he cut any ties he had to non-Jewish relatives, halachically speaking at least. And if he doesn't have any children, then he has no Yorshim, and Nichsei Hager are Hefker. So there was some case where the Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breid Yeshua gave some psak. Some guy had seized the Nichsei Hager and they gave some psak, and then they were able to take it themselves. But he wasn't able, they were. And Rav Ashi comes along and says, Kake Chivari Meshalche Glimi the Inshe. White geese, Rashi says, because they were older than him, who come and strip the clothing off people. And they fleece people. Right? Which is a there are a couple places in Shas that same expression is used, I think, with the same Amaran, which is a stunning, stunning statement. I mean, Rav Papa and Huna Breid Yeshua were not two guys, they were two major Amoraim. And yet Rav Ashi accuses them of self-interest paskening. And the other Gemara, which is really fascinating, is it's a fascinating Gemara in its own right. It's an unbelievable Gemara for so many reasons. Firstly, people who teach Babylonian Aramaic use this Gemara because it's an extended extended section of the Gemara. Most Gemara, by the way, is in Hebrew. Majority of the Gemara, believe it or not, is actually in Hebrew, not in Aramaic. But there's a famous story with Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. It's almost all in Aramaic, and we have some very old manuscripts for it. So it's a passage, I think, Daf Ayin Amid Beis or Ayin Alpha Amid Beis, in Kiddushin, the fourth parak. And in that story, Rav Yehuda did something. He got angry at somebody. He put him in Chayim, announced that he was an Eved, and this guy took him to a Din Torah of Nachman. In the end, when they finally get to the Din Torah, until they get to the Din Torah, Rav Yehuda is beating up on Rav Nachman. Everything Rav Nachman says, Rav Yehuda tries to demonstrate he's a fool. He goes anyway, because Rav Nachman was the Chassan of the Beis Hanasi, of the Reish Galusa. And so he goes, but finally when it comes to the Din Torah, Rav Nachman, sort of, just as a judge, has the upper hand. And Rav Yehuda was challenged why he called this guy an Eved. He called this guy an Eved because he used to call other people Avadim. So Rav Yehuda said that call it Posel Bamumo Posel, people who, you think about the Orlando shooting as an example, right? You know, the self-hatred directed at others for characteristics that one may possess. So that's why he called them, he announced that he was an Eved. And this guy says in the Din Torah of Nachman, who are you calling an Eved? I'm from the house of the Hasmoneans. So Rav Yehuda pipes and says, quote someone who says, oh, you know, so-and-so said, anyone who says, me beis chashmonayana, is an Eved, because Hordus was, you know, the last free member was that girl, was Osa Reba, and she killed herself, so anybody else has to be an Eved by definition. That's the story that's told. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda, very nice, but we never heard the Shmua before. And if you had told us this din a month ago, when you weren't a nogei b'davar, when you didn't have a din Torah, when it wasn't relevant to your case, we would have accepted the tradition that anyone who says, mebeis chashmonai ana, in fact, is an eved. But now that you're saying in the heat of the moment when you needed to defend your case, you don't have ne'amonos to quote so-and-so as making such a statement. At the end of the story, the follow-up is, you know, he says, well, I heard it from so-and-so, and that so-and-so, who hadn't been in Hardah in 20 years, showed up that day and confirmed that, in fact, what Yehuda said was correct. But I don't care about that part. It's the first part that Rav Nachman says to him, it's nice that you quote so-and-so with this tradition. You don't have ne'amonos because you're no gei abedavar, which again, it's a stunning statement because it's basically suggesting that we're choshed, even a Talmud Chacham, to make up a din when he needs himself to not look bad, right? So it's really a remarkable, you know, statement. And the Gemara formulates it as a principle that, you know, kol talmud chacham damar milsa, depends when he says it, whether he's believed or not to bring such a shmua. So there are many, many places the Gemara, and it's clear the editors of the Bavli chose not to edit this out. They chose to present this because the Amoraim were human beings. Their halacha is certainly binding upon us. That's not my suggestion, but I think that there's a moral to be taken away, which is it's fascinating that this critique is offered, again, by the redactors of the Talmud Bavli, if you want to call it Ravina Rav Ashi, whoever else it was, that even rabbis are sometimes flawed human beings, and they also have to adhere to certain kinds of standards of trustworthiness and so on. So that may be obvious. That may be obvious to us, but it's not obvious to everybody. But it's to me fascinating that the Gemara chose to preserve such sort of streams of thought. So in this case, you know, Rab basically wanted to push off Shmuel's question by saying, who is this Samlai? He's a Luda. These are his first. We don't really trust them. And Shmuel said, okay, but why don't we check with who the Nesi is based in? And Rav was embarrassed, right? In other words, I'm not saying that Rav knew. I don't know if he did or didn't know Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah was Mate. Probably not. But then all of a sudden, you know, when Shmuel challenged that, Rav kind of backed off. So Rav's got to come up with a better answer. So Rav turns around and says the following. He says, Amar Rav, Imheim lo darshu anan lo darshinan. Okay, so let's say, even if Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah and his Beis Din, we're not Doresh, the Pasuk, to understand that Daniel and his Beis Din made Xerah, we should realize they did, and he shouldn't be permitting it. V'hoksiv, v'yosem Daniel alibo asher lo yisko'el, b'pasbag ha-melech uv'yein mishtav. So it says that he didn't want to become defiled with the Pasbag HaMelech. Tosus points out, I mean, I don't want to say points out, Tosus claims Pasbag doesn't mean bread. He doesn't want it to be that way because we did permit Pas. And so, but it's the cooked food of the king. It's the Tarshilin of the king. And V'yein Mishtov. B'shtei Mishtov. It's not Yein Mishto, but Yein Mishtov. Two forms of Mishteh, of drinking. B'shnei mishtos hakosav b'daber echad mishtei yayin v'echad mishtei shemen. So now, of course, the Gemara wants to know, well, then what would Shmuel, in fact, respond and say? So Rav Savar al libo sam v'yosem Daniel al libo means to be some lev, as in modern Hebrew means to pay attention, to make an effort. So Rav says al libo sam ulicha Yisrael hora. He paid attention himself and he paskin for the rest of Klal Yisrael. He made exera. Ushmuel Savar. Alibosam ulecha Yisrael lo hora. Okay, now he didn't paskin for everybody. Daniel accepted a personal midas chasidus or chumra, but that wasn't necessarily binding upon anybody else. Okay, so that's where the Gemara at least stops at stage one. So now the Gemara asks a question: V'shemen Daniel gozar? Really, Daniel was the one who was gozer. V'ha'amar Bali, who's the name of an Amora. Avimi Nuta'a Mishmei Derav, or Amar Avimi Nuta'a Mishmei Derav, quotes a tradition in the name of Rav, Piton, Vishamnan, Yenan Uvnosehem, Kulan Mishmona Asa Davarhein. So the Gemara in Shabbos, and we've mentioned this before because we've talked about the Yirchas Davar, says that there was one day that Shammai and Hillel, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, their students, not Shammai and Hillel, came to the Beis Medrash, and the students of Beis Shammai looked around, and they saw, you know what, we have a majority today. So they said, now's time to make mischief. And they raised 18 issues that they wanted to be gozer on, and they outvoted Beis Hillel. By lore, I think the Gemara does say this somewhere, that the Machlokas, I think it's in Yevamos, at the end of the first parak, that Beis Hillel was the Rov, Beis Shammai claimed that they were Harifetre, that they were smarter. So that the Rov shouldn't outweigh the smarter. But in this case, even setting aside Beis Shammai's claim to have been more Harif than Beis Hillel, in this case, they had the majority. And therefore, the iron was hot and they struck. And so they made Xeris on 18 things. What were the 18 things? So the Gemara tries to reconstruct what they are. So here Rav is quoted as saying that the prohibition against eating the bread of a non-Jew and eating the shemen and drinking stam yenam and uvenosehem, which the Gemara is going to talk about what benosehem is. Benosehem is going to be a little shocking to you. There are two opinions. One is that it has to do with tumah vatara. That's not shocking to you. And the other possibility is benosehem means actually cohabiting with non-Jewish women was one of the Yurches Davar. Now that should be shocking to you because you would have thought that it's a Torah prohibition. So the Gemara is going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about what the Torah prohibition is and what the rabbinic prohibition is. But in the meantime, he says that these four things were amongst the 18 things. So you see that Shemen Shalakum was a Gzer of Shammai v'Hillel, not a Gzer of Daniel. Sevechi Tema Asa Daniel Gazar v'lo Kibel. And this is a stock answer the Gemara uses in Shabbos to deal with some of the problems in Yilchas Davar, where they want to attribute something to Shammai Beis Hillel, but there was an earlier Gzeira, they have a tradition. So the stock answer is that the earlier Beis Din made Gzeira, but the people didn't accept it. And therefore, Va'asu Tamidei the Hill of Shammai V'Gozor, and they made Gzeira V'Kiba, and then the people accepted it. Im Kain, Mai Asadusei Derav. In other words, what if that's true, if you want to say that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel had to create the Gzera because Daniel's Gzera never stuck, so what was Rav's point in saying that Shemen Shal Akum is also because Daniel Gazarov? It's not because Daniel Gazarov. Daniel's Gzera was meaningless. The people didn't accept it. an exera that the tzibur were not makabel upon themselves, and was not pashta, you know, and it was enu chol lamubo, is not exera, as the Gemara is going to quote at the end, at the bottom of the Yomut. So why did Rav bother to invoke Daniel? Just say Shammai v'Hillel gozru lav. So the Gemara suggests, but rather Ella Daniel gozar lav beir v'asu iner megozar lav afilu b'sada. Now the way you would explain is that it was a two-stage gezeira. And we saw this already in the discussion of Pas, right? In the Gemara Pas, it is clear, we may not paskin this way, but there is a position that argues that Pas Shel Akum was permitted Bisada. Bisada means, you know, in the boondocks, where you can't find, where it's very hard to find Pas Yisrael. There are no Jews around, there are no Jewish bakers around, where bread is inaccessible, as opposed to Be'ir, where it's easy to get access to Jewish bread. So here the Gemara is taking that very same distinction, suggesting that Daniel made stage one. He was only gozer be'ir. And then Shammai and Hillel students came along and they would gozer on Shemen Shel Akum, even Vasada. Even in a place where it's presumably harder to get Shemen Shel Yisrael, they still instituted that gezer. So that at least solves this particular problem. So now the Gemara turns around and says, the Gemara turns around and says, "Rabbi Huda Hanasi, heichi motzi lemishra takanta de talmidei Shammai v'Hillel." Now the Gemara and they have a hatran and based in Yochel Levatel Divrei based in Chaver Lem King Gadol Lemena B'Chacham Aminyan. Now this is really the same question repeated, and the question is, who is this issue targeted at? Now the assumption is Rabbi Huda Nasiya and his based in permitted all Shemen Shalakum Be'ir Basada. So who is this question directed at? Well, who believes that Shammai and Hillel, their students, were the ones who actually made Gzeira? Well, if you look at the citation chain, it ends with Rav. Now, Tosros assumes that it makes no difference. Tosros, the Bramaschel, Rabbi Huda Anasi. It's the fourth Tosros on the page. It's a one-liner, basically. Rabbi Huda Anasi, Heichi Olam, the Mishrei, Takante de Shammai v'Hillel, Perish Rashbam, the Parach bein the Rab bein the Shmuel. The Shmuel nami mode de Meir Chestavarim. Shmuel is also mode that Shemesh Shel Akum is part of Yud Chestavar. The Ritva, I believe, writes, he doesn't even quote Tosus. Tosus just says, this is Rav's statement. Bali quotes Aviminuta Mishmei de Rav, that Shemen was one of the four additional things as part of Yud Chestavar. Shmuel may not believe that at all. Shmuel still believes that Shemen Shel Akum was Asr because no Saint Tam of Gam. It may not have anything to do with Xera of Daniel, not anything to do with Xera of Shmuel. Fine. So now the Gemara, let's continue the Gemara for a moment, though. So the Gemara says, number one, how could Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and his Beis Din permit Xera of Shammai and Hillel made? Tell me the Shammai and Hillel. Number one. Number two, va'od, ha'ama, Rabba Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ba'kol yochal levato Beis Din, divrei Beis Din chaveru, chutz mishmona asadavar. A Beis Din, presumably of greater stature, can overturn anything of another Beis Din except for the Yud Ches Davar. Shafilu Yovo Eliyo Beis Dino, even if Eliyo and his Beis Din can't ain shomin lo. So, the Gemara says that no Beis Din, no matter what their stature, can permit the Yud Ches Davar. So we've discussed this question already. What does it mean to be the Yud Ches Davar? And there were several answers given. One was that of the Balei Tosfos based upon the Yerushalmi, that it is just the Yud Ches Davar, nothing else, because they shed blood over that. There was a war that day in the Beis Medrash. The Bavli is the sanitized version. There's no bloodshed. But the Yerushalmi says that there was a lot of bloodshed over that day. And then the Rambam seems to understand that Yud Ches Davar is actually a broad category. We were never sure. We discussed this. We don't know what the Rambam distinguished between Gzeiros Takanos and Minhagos and Gzeiros Takanos and Minhagos, and we had no idea what the distinction was when we looked at between Halacha Beis and Halacha Gimel of the second Perek of Hilchos Mamrim. But the Rambam believes that Yud Ches Davar is not only these 18 things; it's prototypical. It's a certain kind of Gzeira. So the Gemara says, number one, how could Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and his Beis Din overturn the Gzeira of Talmidim Hashem of Hillel? He was an inferior Beis Din. And number two, even if he were a superior Beis Din, you're not allowed to change the Yud Ches Davar. Again, why? That's a machlokas. So the Gemara answers the following, and the answer itself is a little bit unclear. Amar Rav Misharshia, Matam, why, now, this could be read as, why is it that they cannot overturn the Yud Ches Davar? Or it could also be read as, why do you need a Gadol B'Chachma of a Minyan? Only Mishum the Pashat Isuro, Matam hold the Pashat Isuro Barov Yisrael. Because the Isser spread out amongst the majority of the community. Shemen lo Pashat Isuro Barov Yisrael, the Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yashu Rabboseinu Ubadku al Shemen Shal Pashat Isuro Barov Yisrael. Okay, now that seems to be the first step. And the Gemara could have stopped there, but it doesn't. But it says that the reason why either the Yurchas Davara binding or why you need a Gadol B'Chachma Minyan also is only by something that's Pashat Isuro B'Chol Yisrael. But if it's not Pashat Isuro B'Rov Yisrael, so one thing for sure is clear. You can undo a Yurchas Davar, and presumably it's possible also you could undo a Gzera even if you are an inferior basin. Not just of the Yud Ches Davar, but even if you are an inferior basin. So now the Gemara continues. V'samchu Rabboseinu al divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel al divrei Rabbi Lazar Bar Tzadok shehayu omrim ein gozer Gzera la tzibur ela im kein rov tzibur yecholon lamod bo. So the Gemara here seems to have used two statements that could be related to one another, but aren't necessarily. Number one is that Gzera is only a Gzera if it is actually accepted by the community. And number two, a gzera is only a gzera if it is something the community can tolerate or bear. Now, as we pointed out previously, one thing is clear. It is possible to have a gzera that the tzibur can abide by, but the tzibur chooses not to abide by. Now, that you can have something that yecholon lamad bo, but lo pashat isura because they're not interested. The question is, can you have something in the reverse? I mean, and you certainly could have something which is a gzera that the tzibur can abide by and choose to, and Pashat Isur Barov Yisrael. The question is, can you invert it? Can you have something where it's Pashat Isur Barov Yisrael, but in it's Yechon Lambo? And the answer might be yes. It might be that something becomes accepted, but it creates an enormous burden upon the community, and people are sort of chafing at it. But right now, the Gemara introduces sort of both rationales. And the question is, are these two related to one another? Or are they two separate things? And do you need one? Do you need both of them? So the Gemara is not clear at all. But the Gemara said, number one, Shemen was not Pashat Isur B'chol Yisrael. And number two, the Gzera was one which the Tzibur could not accept, and therefore they were somech to permit the Gzera. Now, the last part of this Gemara, before we go and discuss, is the Amar of Adar Rabba, Mikra, what is the source that if a Gzera is one that the Tzibur cannot abide by, or the Tzibur, I should say, the Tzibur does not abide by, not cannot, but does not abide by, how do you know that it's not binding? So they quote a pasuk from Malachi. Now, you're going to look at this drasha, and you'll be left scratching your head, because you won't understand it just reading the Gemara. Malachi was criticizing the Jews for failing to engage in the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash and contributing the Trumas and Maisers to the Kohanim and the Levim, who needed it. And so God basically accused them of basically suffering their curses, not understanding why, because they're stealing from God. Bame'ira atem ne'arim, in the cursed you are being cursed, v'osi atem kovim, and you are stealing from me, hagoy kulo, the nation, the entire nation. I'ika goy kulo in, ilolo. In order, now, here you're trying to, if we get the last part. If you have hagoy kulo, and we say rubo kakulo, a majority of the community is like the entire community, so then it's a gzera. But if it's not hagoy kulo, then it's not a gzera. So where, what does this have to do with gzeras, the Rabbanan? So Rashi writes, the top Rashi, b'me'ira atem ne'arim, atem mekablam aleichem gzera ba'orur or v'klala, v'nesar aleichem. You accept upon yourselves a gzera mid the Rabbanan, with a curse, and an oath, and it becomes prohibited. And the achar kach osiatem kovim, afterwards you are koveami, which means gozlim, you steal, sha'atem nenim shuv min harurim, you benefit from that which you cursed, that which you prohibited. You make a gzera, and then you ignore it. And if that's how you read b'meira atem ne'arim, it's not obviously how I would have read it, but if you read it that way, then hagoy kulo. It's only considered a binding me'ira. It's only considered a binding klala, an aura, a binding gezera, if it's hagoy kulo. If it's not hagoy kulo, so then it's not considered binding. Okay, so that is the end of the Gemara's discussion. So there are two issues that I want to sort of go back now and talk about a little bit. I'm going to do them out of order because one is we discussed at some length already, but is not... there's only a little bit to add. Tosus was bothered by the question. Tosus set up a structure in which he notes the following, and this is just review for us. There are gzeros that nobody can overturn, the Yurchas Davar. There are gzeros that you need a Gadol B'Chachma minyan, and then there are gzeros that you simply need a minyan acher. Right? So some things, you can't. No Beis Din can overturn some things, only a greater Beis Din. Some things, a Beis Din. You need a Beis Din, but a Beis Din is sufficient. So the question is, Tosus wants to know the following. Tosus says that if it is Pashat Yisur B'chol Yisrael, then it's the Yurches Davar. It sounds from the Gemara. The reason why you can't be Matir one of the Yurches Davar is Ho'ol Pashat Yisur B'chol Yisrael. But Shemin wasn't Pashat Yisur. So it sounds like if Xer was Pashat B'chol Yisrael, you don't need any, then no Beis Din whatsoever can ever overturn it. And then the Gemara says that because it was not Pashat Yisur B'chol Yisrael, the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Nasi and his Beis Din, which was clearly the Gemara assumes an inferior Beis Din, could permit it. So Tosfos says, where's the middle category? Where is a Beis Din that's Gadol B'Chachamim able to overturn another Beis Din Xera, but necessary also? So after a couple of attempts, Tosfos settles on the following. Tosfos says that Yudches Davar are sui generis. It's just those Yudches Davar. That's not really a halacha category. That's a historical category. Then Tosfos says, outside of the Yudches Davar, it just depends whether Pashat Yisur B'chol Yisrael. If it's Pashat Yisur B'chol Yisrael, you need a Gadol B'chachma Minyan. If it's low Pashat Yisur B'chol Yisrael, then you don't need a Gadol B'chachma Minyan. Now, the Ran, and that's a really interesting Ran. If you turn to the back, the Ran, and I think this is the Ritva, may say the same thing, but there's something garbled in the text of the Ritva. The Ran, and I like, I show you this Ran only because I think it reads beautifully in the flow of the Gemara to an extent. You see, Tosus solves one problem, but he fails to address another. What is the Gemara's transition from Lo Pashat Yisur B'chol Yisrael to Ein Gosin Gzer Al Atzira Elam Kein Rov Atzira Chon Lamabel? I think, but I'm not sure, Tosus conflates the two. He assumes that the two are really related. In other words, the tzibur is not mekabel l'gzeira that they're not really able to do. And you're not supposed to make a gzeira, the tzibur is not going to be mekabel it, mainly the kind of gzeira that's really just too difficult. In other words, Tosus, I think, sort of it glosses over the difference between those two statements. But if you look in the Ran, and the Ran is located, where is the Ran? I think it's on your Dalit Amud Beis in the Dape Harif. And the Dibur Hamaschil, that are the first two words. I want to make sure we're on the same printing. The first two words on your Dalit Amud Beis, Aivu Menape Sveochil in the Rif. Okay, so that's the right page. It's your Dalit Amud Beis in your Gemaras. And it's the Dibur HaMaschil, I hope it's bolded also like this, this is the second bolded Dibur HaMaschil, Rebbe. In that Dibur HaMaschil, well, let's read it from the beginning. We'll read it from the beginning. We're not going to read the whole thing, but Rebbe Yehuda Anasi Ubeistino, Amora Haya Ben Benosha Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Okay, that's a side point. That was Rebbe Yehuda Anasi's grandson. So even though Shemin was from the 18 things, Lo Pashat Yisur B'Rov Yisrael. Sh'ilu Pashat, if it had in fact become broadly accepted, Lo Ayashum Beis Din Yachal Atiru Afilu Gadol Men Arishonu B'Chachma Minyan. No Beis Din could have permitted it. To Hamrina B'Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Beis Din Yachal Levatel Divrei Beis Din Chavero Kishu Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma Minyan, Chutz Miyurches Davar, Sh'afilu Yovu Eliyahu V'Yomar, Ein Shomin Lo. Okay, that was the first step. The Amar Rav Shmaya Matam Ho'u Pashat Yisuro B'Rov Yisrael Bar Mishemen Shelo Pashat Yisuro B'Rov Yisrael. The Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Abba Amar Yochanan Yashu Batku Al Hashemen. It wasn't, and it turned out they saw that the community had not accepted it. Now here's the key line. The Samchu Rabosenu Al Divrei Rashbag Klomar Nehi Delo Pashat Yisuro. So granted that Shemin wasn't Poshet Yisur B'chol Yisrael, now for Tosos, once it's Lo Pashat Yisur B'chol Yisrael, what do you need to overturn it for Tosos? Any Beis Din. You don't need Gadol Chachamim. The Ran says no. He says, I said, I got my place. Nehid Lo Pashat Yisur, filu hachi Gadol Haymanu B'chachamim B'inan. You still need, in other words, the Ran says, if it's Pashat Yisur B'chol Yisrael, that's called Yudches Davar, no Beis Din can overturn it. But even if it's a low Pashat Yisuro, still you need a Gadol B'chachma Minyan. Umahadrinan, we answer that there's another mitigating fact here, which is the Ein Gozer Gzeira LaTzibur. That, in other words, you're not, Beis Din should not make a Gzeira if the Tzibur cannot abide by it. And therefore, you don't even need a Gadol B'chachma Minyan. So the Ran now says, Umehashaminan Sheshlosha Dinim Haim. There are three categories. Pashat Yisur B'Rov Yisrael, Ein based in Yochel Levatel, different based in Chaver, Vafilu Gadol Menor B'chach V'minyan. If it's Parshat Yisro, no based in can overturn it. V'zehu Taman Shayir Ches Davar Shein Shomin Latiran, Afilu Elio based in Lo Parshat Yisro Bar Yisrael, Avo Mikom Akom Higzeir Shereva Ratzivi Yochon Lamo Bo. They could, they just don't want to. Zehu Yisheshoninu, Ein based in Yochel Levatel, different based in Chaver, Ela Inkein Gadol Menor B'chach V'minyan. Ha'im Hu Gadol Menor B'chach V'minyan. Miyamatir. In other words, if you have one of the mitigating factors, you still need Gadol B'chachma Minyan, but you can undo the Gzeira. Lo Pashat Yisur Rav Yisrael, Mipnei Shehi Gzeira Shein Rav Atzil Chal Malam Abo. If it wasn't Poshet, because it was simply something they could not abide by, Afilu Katan Matira, V'hainu Darminan V'samchu Rabo Sena Al-Dibre Rashbag, V'al-Dibre Vlejret Tzadok, V'chule. Right? So that's the whole point. Why does the Gemara... What's that?
I feel the katan means a bezdin.
A bezdin katan. Ah, but so that's what the Rana set up this three partite structure. But wait, watch what happens. You can skip that. Well, let's just read so I won't be accused of skipping anything. So now he says, "Vahalchi perusha, ki lo pashad yisuro shoshem and b'chal yisra." Did we read that part or no? No. That's why the Gemara has to say the Samchu Rabbah Sena at every Rashbag. Klomar, ki beinan gadol hanimidi begzera shirovatziru cholamad bo. Amo ein rovatziru cholamad bo afilu katan matira. Umikomakom. But here's the crucial point to answer your question, Rabbi Lichtenstein. Tzricha heter. It does require heter. The hapas gzera he she ein rovatziru cholamad bo. But tzricha heter. May there be number Gemara. So we're going to see that Gemara later. But apparently, Samloi, who was Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya Shamash, was talking to him and said, you know, Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya said to me, Rav Samloi, you weren't in yeshiva last night when the Beis Din was Matir this Gezera. So he said to him, Mirtz Hashem Rebbe, you should be Matir Pas Akum also, not just Shem and Akum. So Amar Le, he said to Samloi, Imkain, I can't do that because Karulon Beis Din Sharia. They're going to call me a permissive Beis Din, right? They're going to call me, I'm too makel. So you're right, you don't want to be called a Beis Din Sharia. So Alma Tzricha Heter, you see, you do need a Heter. Ushamin and Meha, Shegzeres apas lo pashta brov Yisrael, shegzera hi shever and tzinil chaman bo. And you see from this as a side point that Pasachim wasn't poshet because they simply could not, it was impossible to live with it. Ucha de itmar b'shemen. And the same thing as the Gemara says explicitly by Shemin. Why? Because if it weren't true, Shem lo kein, heich yehei rashai, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi latiro, ilav the karla based in Sharia. As Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya said, I'm not going to be matir pasachim only because I don't want to be based in Sharia. But it sounds like he could have been matir pasachim. How? After all, ha'im based in Yochel Levatel, did based in Chavera, and l'mken gadol menu b'chachmin, elavada gzere shein rov atzi l'chaman bo, dumia d'shemen, and mishum hochi, ha'ya Yochel co-based in Lahatira, if not for the fact they didn't want to be based in Shire. But now hold on to your hats. Ulefikach, kasav harambanzel, shafilu bisman hazeh, im yaskimu chachme Yisrael ugdolehem, umatirin esapas mutar, afal pi, Shem Kitana Mitalmide Shamai Vihila Bechachma Mamin. She Rebbe Yehuda Anasi Katan Mehem Hoya Kedamina Megmara Vila Mishim the Lukari Le based in Shai have a Shari Namiha. This statement is an unbelievably explosive statement to the Ramban. Why? Well, because in other words, one of the comments I always say, and it's true anyway, but despite the Ramban, is that the reason why we have to abide by Gzeros, let's say, whose reasons no longer apply, is because davar shebinyan tzarach minyan achar latiro. Something was nigzar upon, you need a beis din to be matir. And I just assume a davar shebinyan is a bani that has the authority of a Sanhedrin. So I always point out, when I gave shir over the last month, which is that we don't have a Sanhedrin today. But the truth is, most of the Gemara also didn't come from a Sanhedrin. The Amoraim in Babel had no Smicha. Even the Tanaim in Eretz Yisrael after the year 30 certainly were not a Beis Din HaGadol. And post-Chorban, it's not clear you ever really had a formal Sanhedrin. Maybe in Yavne for a short time. But after that, the Tanaim scattered. Rabbi Lezer was in Lud. Rabbi Yoshua was in, I don't know, Sichnin or somewhere else. Different Tanaim were in different places. They didn't have a Sanhedrin. When they prohibited things, it wasn't with official Dabar Shebaminyan. Certainly not the Amoraim in Bavel. So the question is, what binds us? what makes the Talmud Bavli binding as a Davar Shuv Minyan? So I always said, because Klal Yisrael accepted it, which explains why I've said many times that if already the practice of the observant community is not to follow a certain Gzeira, then it's mutter, because the Klal Yisrael has decided to be matir this particular thing. And Ramosha says it differently. He says that since it is no longer Pashta B'chol Yisrael, if there were a Sanhedrin today, they would formally permit it. So that's why we know they would be matir it, so that's why we allow it. Now, the truth is, Ramosha is against all that we've shown him here, because the Baalei Tosfos, we didn't read it on the top of Lamed Vav Beis and the Ran here, they all say you do need some formal heter, right? But the Ramban comes along and says, you know what? If all the Chachmei Yisrael Gdoleim came along and decided to mount or something, well, they could. Now, of course, the counter comment is that it's true, except for that won't happen today. You know, as I like to quote a friend of mine who suggested, you know, the miracle of the Septuagint, according to the Bavli, was that Talmai HaMelech took 72 elders and put them in 72 separate rooms, and they came up with the exact same translation with the exact same changes. And my friend likes to say that's not such a miracle. If he had put the 72 elders in the same room and they had come up with the same translation, that would have been a miracle. So the truth is, it's unrealistic that that's going to happen today. But according to the Ramban, at least, it is not beyond the power of Chachmei Yisrael today. And again, we are so fragmented. And as I've said, part of the price of having our personal autonomy in our communities to be able to ask our rabbi, and our rabbi more or less being able to decide, is the price for that is that we don't have central authority. And the cost is that you can't be matir gzeros. You can't be matir gzeros that a central authority could without smicha, because if we want Klal Yisrael to be one, then you can't have, well, in this community, we decide that these gzeros don't apply. We decide that Stam Yena doesn't apply. We decide we can eat this, we can eat that, it's only gzeros to Rabbanan, and the reason is relevant, which might be something that all of Chachmei Yisrael could do, but if only one community does it, you wind up with Lo Siskodi. You really wind up with two tziburs, and that really is us. That's this week's power. So making this kind of a division in Klal Yisrael. So that's, as I said, that's the cost. But the upside to that, if you want, is that, and I don't think anybody really wants to sacrifice this, is that you get to ask your Maradas for the Shaila, and fundamentally he gets to decide, you know, I mean, he may consult, he may not consult, but it is fundamentally within his power to do so, and nobody can say, well, that's sorry, you know, Rabbi Luchstein, you decide X, but the Sanhedrin decide Y, so you either recant or you become a Zaken Mamre or something like that. You know, you know that doesn't happen anymore because there's no central authority, but it's a benefit and it comes with a real cost as well. But in theory, at least in theory, not really in practice, the Ramban says if Chachmei Yisrael Gdoleim decided that there was a Gzeira d'Rabbanan, which was certainly if it was. It's not clear. Or something like that. The Ramban thinks that you would have the authority to provide the same kind of permission. So I would argue, as I've said before, is that when the community actually broadly is not observing it, at some point Gedolei Yisrael just explain why it's mutter, that becomes this post facto ratification. But it's not that people don't turn on a dime. You know, it's not the way the Ramban at least would articulate it. It's almost that people are doing it today, but maybe lo pashtei suro, and the Gedolei Yisrael get up and say it's mutter, and those very same people who were doing it today don't do it tomorrow. That's not usually happening that way. What's usually happening is that almost everybody has sort of ditched it, or a large enough community, or some communities have ditched it, and their Rabbanim say, well, it's mutter because of X, Y, and Z, and that's the way it works. But it's a fascinating Ramban, the idea that you could say that Kol Gedolei Yisrael HaChachamim could serve as a minyan acher latir. Now, why? So in this context, it's not so radical. Why do I think this is so significant? For the following reason. I don't know whether the Ramban would have agreed with the Ravid Shita, but the Ravid, if the Ravid would agree with the Ramban Shita, but the Ravid believes, the Ravid has to deal with this, all the Rishonim have to deal with this three-part chiluk of no Beis Din can overturn it, Gadol b'chachmin yanid minyan acher latiro. So the Rambam, as we mentioned, has his own distinction, Yud Ches Davar, other Gzeris the Rabbanon, and maybe Dinim Doraisa, which any Beis Din can overturn. The Ravid is not entirely clear, but the Ravid does say one thing, based upon a Gemara in Beitza that we looked at with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Ravid said is that the reason for the Gzeira is no longer applicable in your context, in your society, the Ravid says you don't need a Gadol b'chachmin minyan, you only need a minyan acher latira. So what that would mean in theory, according, if the Ravid accepted the Ramban's thesis, and I don't know if he does or not, if he accepted the idea that when you don't need a Gadol b'chachmin minyan, that even a Bizman Hazeh, Gedolei Yisrael HaChachamim could be matir gzeira. So for the Ravid, Even if it's Pashan Isur B'chol Yisrael, if the reason is no longer relevant, the Ravid would say a Beis Din, which is, you can, a Beis Din can permit it, and you don't even need a Gadol B'chapur Minyan. So according to the Ravid, again, realistically, you're not going to get it, but it wouldn't mean that Kol Yisrael, Kol Chachmei Yisrael L'Gdoleim today, according, if the Ravid adopted the Ramban's position, so it would be able to be Matir Gzeros, whose reasons were no longer applicable, even though they were currently being observed by the observant community. They would still have the power to undo such a Gzeros, which is a I don't know, I say a radical notion, but it's certainly a novel idea. What's that? Yeah, well, Kinyos would be a little easier in theory. I think even if you didn't subscribe to the Ravid's approach, because Kinyos doesn't even really qualify as a Dabar Shiva Binyan. It's not Dina de Gemara. It's Minhag Ashkenaz. And it's a relatively weak minhag in the sense that we don't even treat it like chametz. People don't know this, but if it's a rove of non-kitnios, you can eat it, even Ashkenazim. I always talk about whether or not kitnios will still be around in 50, 60 years because of what's happening in Israel. And I like to jokingly say that those who are around, if that happens, in fact, might make the bracha baruch hamakom sharago, but hamakom sharago. Anyway, that's a borrowed phrase from elsewhere in the Gemara, another context. I think that in theory, from a conceptual perspective, that's a little bit easier because it doesn't carry the same status of Bavli. I wouldn't be surprised. Again, I don't know what the Ramban might say. Yeah, that's a Davar Pashut. I think the Ramban, there's a Ramban somewhere. This is not it. The Ramban says the same thing as he does here by Yom Tov Sheni. That he felt like he could really, if he really wanted to, he could be mevatel. I remember Shechter once quoted a line somewhere, the Ramban says something like that. That he really wanted, he could.
Better not say that out loud.
I understand. Okay, so I don't know if we should post this or not. Suffice it to say that you're still supposed to be put in cherem if you violate Yom Tov Sheni in Chutz Laretz. Okay, I'll say it that way. But that idea, at some point, the Ramban seems to have this broader idea that we have. If all of Klal Yisrael were unified in that regard, we have greater authority than perhaps we realize. Of course, if all of Klal Yisrael were unified, we would probably be Mechadesh Nesmicha, and you could have a Sanhedrin again. So, it's a problem that sort of solves itself. But until you have unity, you don't have anything. So, okay.